God bless you. It's Saturday, January 28th, 2023. Last week, in part one, we closed with a couple of scriptures in Jeremiah chapter 9, verses 23 and 24, as we were reading God's own words about glorifying Him. And I'd like to start off this morning with reading that passage again. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might. Let not the rich man glory in his riches, but let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord which exercise loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. You know, much worth repeating is that word for knoweth. We looked at it a little last week. It's actually the same Hebrew word that is used in Proverbs 3:6 for acknowledge. And we'll begin in verse 5 of Proverbs 3. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not unto thine own understanding. So, in God's own words, we are to resolutely place our confidence in Him. You know, being written in Proverbs, these words are God's sage guidelines of wisdom. They're to make the reader wise, the person seeking godliness. They're a course where one can become wise. They're sentences that illuminate ethical wisdom, righteous living. In God's own words, we are to be resolutely in our confidence. We resolutely place our confidence in God. The wisdom of God tells us that it is wise to realize that our own understanding, no matter what our mental prowess is, that our own understanding will not support us. Our own wisdom, you know what? It's not dependable every time. It's not dependable enough in time of real need for us to lean upon it. And the life lesson is, as we might think of it today, in all thy ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct thy paths. That's the lesson. In the totality of our actions, our undertakings, and course of life, we acknowledge Him. And that means we deliberately in our hearts set out to know Him as best we can and thank Him for illuminating and lighting up our hearts by way of the Holy Spirit teaching us the all truth. It's not automatic, certainly not. God is everywhere present. He knows everything, and He is all-powerful. But you know what? He will not overstep our freedom of will to choose or reject acknowledging Him. When we choose Him, it's like multipliers attach themselves to our free will choice, and He is able to lead us right along. Proverbs 3:7, be not wise in thine own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It's the best way when we stand in awe of Him reverently, honorably, and respectfully. This phrase, depart from evil, in the context, it actually means to be removed from evil. when we are not wise in our own eyes, when we acknowledge Him in all our ways, when we trust in Him, it puts Him in a place where we have accepted Him, and He is able then, by our free will choice, to remove us from evil. We're removed from evil. And the wisdom in these verses we've just read, the wisdom here is when we trust in Jehovah with all our hearts, when we lean not to our own understanding, when we learn to know Him, when we don't get sucker punched by our own wisdom, and when we live in awe of Him with reverence, honor, and respect, then He removes us from evil. And those are the guiding principles. They are spiritual, and it all happens in our hearts. The condition of our heart, it invites and receives God's directions for our paths and for Him to remove us from evil. It's a tight little package. And isn't that simple? To just review those first few verses there and see what a simple package it is. So it is easy to see why our own understanding will not suffice. Verse 8, it, these guiding principles, the things that we learn from God, our awe of Him with reverence and honor and respect, it, referring to those guiding principles that we just covered, you know, health is from that Hebrew word. The word is also found in Exodus 15:26, where God says, I am the Lord that healeth thee. The word health to thy navel and healeth thee are the very same Hebrew word. And you know, as we're developing within the mother's womb, we were nourished through the umbilical cord, which ultimately becomes the navel. And the marrow spoken of here, it brings a refreshing drink to the bones. They don't dry out and get frail. What picturesque language it is here to help us comprehend the benefits just physically for us acknowledging God. We can believe and trust in God for this, but honestly, we're not going to understand how God does these things. You know, how does God flourish us in life with all the intricate, oh gosh, nooks and crannies and twists and turns, and sometimes they're minute by minute. But taking heed to these life lessons sets us up for God's leading, for health, for our welfare. And then we're going to move on to verse 9, and we're going to spend some time on this one. It's another area where who can possibly explain how God does what He does. When we do what He has requested, we do to honor Him, to show Him glory. And the reason we're going to spend some time on this is because it truly is a very vulnerable area where the enemy has his way with so many believing ones. So in verse 9, here is another wise word. It's a life lesson. Honor the Lord with thy substance and with the first fruits of all thine increase. And here the word honor is the Hebrew word for glory. And the word for substance actually is the word for wealth. So speaking of honoring God with our substance, or giving God glory with our wealth, I enjoyed reading one minister's explanation. It's so simple, and honestly, It is so accurate. And he said, budgeting around honoring God with our wealth is the great immovable line item entitled God's glory. It's the opposite of using our money for every other budgetary priority and then, quote unquote, honoring him with what little is left. You know, the main reason this is such a vulnerable area in our judgment is because we fail to separate the spiritual wisdom from the five senses knowledge. How can we have more when we have less? How does that work? Honoring the Lord with our substance does require spiritual understanding. And for that to happen, our desires for spiritual understanding, they must align with God's word, with these wise sayings, for example. All of these life lessons, they require a passion at the core of our beliefs. At the core of our beliefs, and are wrapped up in our trusting God with all our hearts. I mean, it's a sold out concept. We don't tinker with this. It's not a sideline. It's not something we do after work. The Word of God is our life. Life is spiritual. You know, it's difficult to move forward glorifying God when we are reticent about applying this wisdom about spiritual life, even when it clearly overrides our best sense knowledge logic. And it does. It really does. But we have just read that we are not to be wise in our own eyes, that we are not to lean unto our own understanding. So then, when we put that on, when we start working that in our hearts, it will begin to make more sense. When we entertain those possibilities, because not only are they possibilities, they are life lessons. They are true. Verse 10 gives us the gracious outcomes of applying these life lessons, and particularly in the context here, glorifying God with our wealth. Proverbs 3:10, so shall thy barns be filled with plenty, and thy presses shall burst out with new wine. You know, again, that's a picturesque scene of absolute abundance. And another section of scripture that I want to go to adds more information to this advice. Let's look at a familiar verse in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. God says, bring ye all the tithes into the storehouse. I wonder why. He says that there may be meat in mine house, that there can be provisions there. And God further says, and prove me now herewith, saith the Lord of hosts, if I will not open you the windows of heaven and pour you out a blessing that there shall not be room enough to receive it. You know, I was looking at this verse this week, and there's just so many ways to read it and think of the different emphasis you can put on different parts of the verse. And it's just such a humble and honest invitation to becoming acquainted with God's wisdom. He says, prove me now. So, do you see the absolute freedom, the absolute liberty we have in developing this trust in God? And as we read about in 2 Corinthians 9, starting in verse 6. But this I say, he which soweth sparingly shall also reap sparingly, and he which soweth bountifully shall also reap bountifully. Now, the sparingly means stingy. It doesn't mean that, you know, you make a small amount of money and you are able to give a small amount of giving. It really means if you're going to be stingy, you're going to reap stingy. But he that soweth bountifully shall reap bountifully. It's called planting and harvest. I mean, that's the great parallel there. Verse 7, every man according as he purposeth in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. And that word cheerful really means you're ready and you're on time. You have an increase, and the first thing that comes to your mind is, wow, God, here is the glory to you for this increase. You have blessed me. Here it is. I'm putting it in the storehouse. You know, first and foremost, be a cheerful giver, because that's the foundation. Giving grudgingly or of necessity, it will not return in blessings to the giver. Sure, the receivers will be able to utilize your giving for their purposes, and prayerfully, those purposes are godly, but you want to be a part of those blessings and that abundance. So God says, do this as your heart dictates. It's your money. God blessed you with it. It's your money. So, but he also says, prove me. Don't be afraid. You know, don't be bitter about things that have happened in the past. Prove me. When? Now. Prove me now, saith the Lord. If you have behaved stubbornly regarding giving of your finances and sharing of your wealth, and believe me, we do realize it can be confusing and complicated. Over the years, we have heard it all. You know, there's not one aspect that has kept believers from stepping up in this last category, this one category that we haven't heard. But it's a lack of trust in God in the least common denominator. Prove him by tenderly purposing in your heart, even if it's a small amount, but do it with a generous and ready heart. Just try it. God says, just try it. You're going to be pleasantly surprised. And as you prove him, you can always repurpose in your heart for a more bountiful giving. Sure. It is so simple once our hearts are inclined to be subject to the will of God. And it's each person and God. It's each person and God. There's not a law across the board. The life lesson is, honor the Lord with thy wealth. And you walk out on that. And you grow in it, just like everything else. You grow in it. You develop. You know, it's a walk. It's a growth. Absolutely. But we can't let past experiences or lack of trust come into the mix, because that we don't make good decisions. And when someone doesn't want to make that decision, that is by their free will choice also. You know, it's so much more than being afraid of a ministry getting rich at your expense. And you really have to look at all the reasons why you shouldn't as some form of satanic fraud. None of us like fraud. In fact, it's illegal. Fraud is punishable by years and years in prison. But you know, the devil just runs amok, and we don't want to get suckered into a bad case of fraud, that's for sure. Verse 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. You know, in the tenderness of our hearts, we acknowledge only God is able to make all grace abound toward us, that we would always have all sufficiency in all things, so that we could abound to every good work. Verse 11, we'll jump down to, being enriched in everything to all bountifulness, which causeth through us thanksgiving to God, for the administration of this service not only supplies the want of the saints, but is abundant also by many thanksgivings unto God. So see, you know, immediately you think of Acts chapter 4, where none of the saints had want because they brought their wealth. They brought a portion of their wealth to a storehouse where it was dispensed for the believers that had less, and there was an equality. I mean, it's really, you can never find fault with God's plan. Never. Verse 13. Whiles by the experiment, which is proof, whiles by the proof of this ministration, this service or ministering, they glorify God for your professed subjection unto the gospel of Christ, and for your liberal distribution unto them and unto all men. And this verse is saying that through the trying or proving of this grace, we glorify God and we profess our subjection unto the gospel of Christ. In 2 Corinthians chapter 8, the chapter right before the one we're in, Paul's communication to the believers there, it's about the honesty before God for their monetary giving to the storehouse for the needs of the ministry, which eventually was for those believers who needed help. You know, the believers were talking about a collection, but now, Paul said, it was time for them to prove the sincerity of their love. Get this collection together that you keep talking about. And in verse 7, Paul told them, therefore, as ye abound in everything, you abound in faith, you abound in utterance, you abound in knowledge, you abound in all diligence, you abound in your love to us. See that you abound in this grace also. See why it really hurts when we have satanic fraud happening, and see how much it hurts when we get talked out of this, when we don't make a point to prove God about it, but we just keep believing the excuses that the devil puts up in our face. Chapter 8 is a very insightful chapter to read all the way through. Quite an enjoyable read. But Paul calls their giving, I love it, he calls their giving a grace. See that you abound in this grace also. You know, you've got faith, you've got believing, you've you're speaking the word. You know the word. You're diligently about the things. You love us. You love the believers. But see that you don't forget to abound in the giving. Absolutely. Our trusting communion with our Heavenly Father should receive our soberest of attention in every category. You know, Larry and I were talking. I don't think that we've ever really taught a tremendous amount about the giving of our finances. It's a sensitive topic because of some of the experiences in our backgrounds. But, you know, it is time that we did. And it is our sincere heart's desire that all born-again ones would be red hot in the Spirit as we continue, as this world waxes worse and worse. You know, we need these life lessons, and we need to have them all fluid in our lives. And I'm not talking about having some kind of crazy holy boldness, quote unquote, to protest evil. You know, we're not in a protest of evil. We're speakers of the truth. That protest has already been decided. And you know what? We won. We are directed in so many places in the Word, but especially in Ephesians 6, to stand and withstand. And we do that individually, and we do that collectively as the body of Christ. We desire for all of us to be at the place in our hearts and lives that on a given day, you're sitting and you're reading or meditating on a verse, and the Holy Spirit just stands up inside your heart and it says, you are that man. And I'm speaking to how the Holy Spirit shows us the way of our errors, where we, you know, it's not that we err on purpose. Of course not. And you are that man. You are the man, I think it literally says. But it's referring to Nathan the prophet that God sent to go before David and confront him about how he handled his love for Bathsheba and how he handled getting rid of her husband. It's in 2 Samuel 12, verses 1 through 7. Proverbs 3:12 says, "For whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth, even as a father the son in whom he delighteth." The Father loves us. So he has that gift of Holy Spirit within us, and it has many, many purposes. And one of them is to correct us, to lead us to the all truth, to lead us in our understanding, in our greater understanding. And when we understand and acknowledge God, we glorify him. That's what Jeremiah is saying. And even in the pureness of our hearts, we're going to inadvertently have momentary foolishness, right? And we're going to have it again and again and again, because that wonderful gift is in this clay vessel. It's in this flesh and blood body. God understands us. You know, he knows the motives and the reasons in our heart, and he feels pity for us because he knows how he made us. He knows what we are, and he sees what we are in Christ. And when our hearts need some fine-tuning, it's the work of the Holy Spirit in us that does that job. It's not supposed to require an elder to come and make a big deal and reprove us. Now, sometimes that does become the need if we get too dopey. But, you know, our closest and best comfort and protection of our ways is the Spirit of God within us. And if we're going to the Word to nourish and refresh our hearts, the Holy Spirit, in turn, can transform a verse that we're looking at or thinking about into a neon sign. I've had that happen. I know. And it's not a bummer. It's electrifying. It's a chilling and thrilling experience when we recognize that the Holy Spirit is working within us. Wow, it works! You know, God will direct our path and He will remove us from evil. There's no mention of a club. You know, and the more we understand and acknowledge Him in all our ways, the gentler it is. It becomes more and more gentle. What a spiritual goal. People will sometimes ask, gee, what are your long-term goals? Well, there's one right there. Evidencing the gift of the Holy Spirit working within us according to God's good pleasure, according to God's plan and direction. And to round this off, here's the greatest concept of all. God called us to the one body. We're all called individually to participate. So, how strong are we? We're one body strong. Even though we may be geographically miles away from each other, the Spirit of God in us transcends the miles. So, let's stand and withstand together. Let's be in one another's corner. And the next time we get together, we're going to finish up this three-part series of looking at God's own words and His instruction on glory in this. God bless you.